This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by the Amazon Store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
I've loved you since the first moment I saw you.
And I'll love you until my last.
Out of our evil, seek to bring forth good. Our labor must be to pervert that end.
It's time for all of us to believe. To believe in each other.
And out of good, still to find means of evil.
I tried to be good once, but it wasn't in the cards.
Of hope. And fears and dangers heard so often.
I need you to believe. Believe in what? Believe in magic.
In worst extremes, and on the perilous edge of battle when it raged. In all assaults, their surest signals, they will soon resume, new courage and revive, though now they lie groveling and prostrate on yon lake of fire.
Evil isn't born, it's made.
As we erewhile, astounded and amazed.
Magic isn't about what you see, it's about what you feel inside.
No wonder, fallen such a pernicious height. Awake. Arise. For be forever. Frozen.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, the podcast dedicated to, this time, the fourth season of this wonderful show on ABC. And we are so glad to be back. We are so glad that you are back as a listener. Otherwise, we'd just be talking to ourselves. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because we enjoy that. But we also love to share it with you all. And today, to talk about all our first reactions, our theories, all the Easter eggs that we've discovered in the first episode of this fourth season is the full crew. I'm so happy that we could all make it to this recording. Starting with Deborah Shaman. Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
Ooh, that was very loud. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
No. It's totally my fault. Also joining us, the two sisters. This is going to be a tale of two sisters, Lisa and Shelley.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Great to have you on the show as well. Always taking lots and lots of notes, and you've been teasing us with that. So we're really intrigued by everything that you noticed and we missed. Also joining us from Groningen, Inge Loots.
Hello.
Good evening. And then finally also joining us is Mr. David Handloes.
Hello.
It's been a while. How are you all? Have you had a good summer?
Yes.
Very educational.
Excellent. Well, I am really glad that the new TV show season has started again. A lot of the cool shows have started up again, but I was still kind of waiting for Once Upon a Time to start. We've already started another show on SQPN about Doctor Who, and we've already recorded like five or six episodes, and I was waiting for Once Upon a Time. When is it coming back? Well, it is back, and it is back in full strength. And before we start our round asking for initial impressions of this first episode, let me just play the audio for this first episode. It's a television promo, so it's got that same, you know, television on a whole new episode of blah blah blah.
So ABC Tonight, the beloved heroes from Frozen come to life and enter Sunday's most enchanting drama, Once Upon a Time.
Cool, pun intended.
Where some of the world's favorite characters live and engage in the ongoing battle of good versus evil.
What are you doing?
Getting ready for a fight.
Join sisters Elsa and Anna on an all-new magical quest when they bring winter early to the town of Storybrooke.
Oh, well, that's a new one.
I'm the queen.
She needs to be removed.
A phenomenal new season is about to begin.
This isn't over.
It never is.
Once Upon a Time, the season premiere, tonight 8, 7 Central on ABC.
And we've been looking forward to this new season, especially because of the ending of the last episode of season 3, where we were teased that we would see at least one of the main characters of that fabulous animated movie, Frozen. And, well, let me start with you, Inga, because you've just watched that movie. You hadn't seen it yet, but yesterday you watched it on Netflix. What was your... How did you like it?
And normally I don't like Disney movies, so that's why I didn't bother watching it, because it's a little too fluffy normally. But yeah, since I had to do this for work, kind of, I have a really, really tough life. But I watched it and I was like, oh, this is a nice movie.
It is.
And it's really nice. I want to watch it again when it's Christmas. I think it's really a Christmas movie.
Well, it's full of snow, that's for sure.
Yeah, but also the family, and you stick together, and that love is the kind of potion to conquer, undo evil or the bad things. So yeah, I like that.
It is. Not to mention the fabulous music. It's just everything is great about that movie. I love it.
Yeah, well, I didn't like the music that much, but yeah, but.
Well, fortunately, there was no singing then for you in this episode. Let me start with our resident Disney expert, someone who lives and breathes Disney. Deborah, what did you think of this episode of Once Upon a Time?
I really did like it. Now, I was thinking today, I was like, is it too much Disney? Like, you know, because in the past seasons, we haven't seen, you know, we've seen little bits and pieces, but not like full-fledged scenes played out. And I felt like, you know, the first scene, and we'll get into the, you know, the full-fledged scenes. I'm like, wow, they really took a lot from the Disney movies for this first episode. So I really enjoyed that, but part of me was like, well, I wasn't expecting it. So, I don't know. We'll see. I hope they keep it up. I'm very much a Disney fan, so like I kind of like more incorporation of the Disney stuff in there.
Well, there was a lot in this episode. How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, probably a 7.
No, that's prudent.
I don't want to give it a 10 because, you know, there's still some flaws, but you know.
And we have an entire season in front of us, so
exactly.
You don't want to start too high.
Yeah.
What about the two sisters here on the podcast? Shelley, how did you like this episode?
Well, I had never seen the movie Frozen. Until this summer, even with children. My children had seen it. I did not go to the theater with them.
Wow.
So when Elsa appeared at the end of season 3, I said, Dad, gummit. And then I went and I borrowed the DVD from Lisa. Thank you. And I watched it. And now I can't get those songs out of my head. So, David, if you haven't seen it yet, just be prepared to start singing. I liked this episode. I would give it an 8. I thought it was an excellent kickoff to a new season. I also, knowing that they were going to do Frozen, I didn't just watch the movie. I went out and found The Snow Queen, the fairy tale in 7 stories, written by Hans Christian Andersen. Mm-hmm. And I see so much overlap and overlay between the fairy tale and the movie and this episode. I've got a favorite moment, but you haven't asked us for that yet, so...
I'd love to hear your insights on that.
When you ask me, I will tell you.
Sure. Lisa, what about you? And I think Lisa's muted. And let's see if she can press the button in the meantime.
There I am.
Oh, there you are. Now? Yes, yes, yes.
Sorry, we knew, I'm talking. Y'all can't hear me.
We knew you were in there.
my experience with Frozen, you know, I have two girls and a boy. But we saw it at the theater when it came out. And then we went back and saw it again. They did a whole sing-along at the movie theater.
Wow.
With the words on the screen and everything. We own it. So I have seen it multiple times, even on the soundtrack. So I will say I watched this episode with my kids and my husband. And so I watched it through their eyes. And they, of course, have been watching Once Upon a Time with all of this. They loved it. They were squealing. And, I mean, they just thought this was great. And if you... I have some friends who have not watched Once Upon a Time before, and so they were starting with this episode because of Frozen. So we don't wonder why they you know, merged the two. I will say from their point of view, from what I've heard from them, is this was a good episode. If you're going to start watching a series, this was an okay episode to jump off on because we'd wrapped up so many storylines last year. And this episode was really kind of an intro. It gave you a bunch of Frozen, and then it kind of gave you a launching off point so you don't feel lost if you didn't watch the first three seasons. So from that aspect, I really enjoyed it. I was surprised it was so close to the movie, what they chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it, but I was just surprised because they've not done that with any of the other Disney movies.
Yeah, normally they are immediately turning it upside down, and in this case, right. It was more a parallel to the storyline of the animated movie,
like a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a sequel.
Yeah,
not that I'm complaining. How would you rate this episode?
I'd give it somewhere between a 7 and an 8 because I think it shows a lot of promise of what they're going to give us this season. Thankfully, I don't think it's going to be another Peter Pan season. Hopefully not. So I'm hopeful. I liked it and I'm hopeful.
Very good. What about you, David? The only person here on the panel who hasn't watched Frozen yet.
Oh no, you've told everyone my secret. I try, I just did not have enough time to actually go back and watch Frozen. I'm still one of the, five people in America who hasn't. I've watched every trailer that Hulu had. But I would give this, even without the whole Frozen bit, I'm still missing a bunch of references. I'd still probably give this one an 8 because, they try to throw a lot in here, and not just with the, I'm not saying it was the most excellent in the world, but they was it Marshmallow, that big huge snow beast, whatever.
Marshmallow. It was just
that one
snow.
Actually was half decent. I thought. I mean, they actually put some CGI budget in there. I'm like, that actually looks like the thing I saw in the trailer. They actually did some work there. All right, and I liked a lot of the interactions. They really all the characters really stepped it up. I liked this episode.
So your rating for this one?
Sorry, I thought I said an 8.
It's
an 8.
Excellent. Well, I'll give this one a 7 out of 10. I liked it a lot, especially visually. I thought the stone trolls, the evil snowman, all that was even some of the shots of the initial world of Elsa and what's the other one called?
Anna.
Looked pretty good. I mean, it was clearly CGI, but they did spend some effort on it to make it look to make it recognizable to everyone who had seen Frozen. I loved all the Disney references. Some other movies in there as well, of course. So from that point of view, I thought it was a really good, clever way to start a new season, also because it was very inviting, very open to new viewers. They didn't refer too much to complicated storylines. Those have all been resolved. However, that also was, I think, the weakness of this episode in that I missed the focus. I missed a clear lead. I was like, who is the main character of this? Where is this going? It's basically a lot of exposition and sometimes very clever exposition because you especially for newer viewers and for those of us that have short-term memory, you need to be reminded of some of the dynamics, some of the relationships and things that have happened in the past And I think they did that very well, but it had the downside of being a little bit about everyone and about everything. And so I'm hoping to see where this is going. I guess for me, the main, let's say, multiple episode theme is going to be Regina. Is she going to return to her former evil self? As she's been hurt again, there's no happy ending, and so is she gonna try to rewrite history again and change the fate of herself, but also of the world? Which, of course, is it's definitely what she's gonna try. but there wasn't much of that yet. But then again, we have an entire season in front of us. I also appreciated that we saw Storybrooke with lots of sunshine. And mm-hmm. It's the advantage of them having filmed throughout the summertime. And so it was a lot less gloomy and dark and rainy as the first part of the third season, where it was constantly in the forest. And it was this kind of drab, dark first half of the season. And I was just glad that they didn't go there this time. So where are we going to start? Gosh, there's...
Favorite moment.
Favorite moment. All right. Well, go ahead.
Was she ready for that?
Favorite moment.
I was watching for my opening. Okay. So my absolute favorite moment of this whole episode was when Emma stands in the hallway, knocks on the door and says, "Regina, I know you're in there," but she didn't sing.
Exactly.
And I went, oh my gosh, they just flipped the whole Frozen story. They flipped it. Regina is Elsa, and Emma is Anna. Mm-hmm. And that one screenshot, that one visual image right there, snap, was the whole episode to me. Just it just hit me. I have all these predictions of where they're going to go and what they're going to mm-hmm. do and how it all fits. And I know I'm not going to be right 90% of the time, but it was just like, wow.
And why
and so
do you
that
say,
was my favorite moment.
Why do you say they flipped it? Because it wasn't it more a parallel to the relationship between the other two sisters there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, okay, so Frozen the movie, you've got Elsa, right? And, mm-hmm. and everybody jump in here. You've got Elsa, and she's got this power. She can't control it, conceal mm-hmm. it, don't feel it. You know, she's terrified. She's in pain. And by the end of the Frozen movie, David, hold your ears. By the end of the Frozen movie, she discovers that it's love. She can control her magic with love. Well, Regina's already been down that path, more or less, with the ending of the last season, with her channeling good magic over evil magic and becoming the heroine. And so here she is. She's being called a monster. She's being called terrible. Oh, Marion's yelling at everybody. Don't you know who she really is? Who is she really? That self-identity. I'm really deep down a monster. And all of a sudden, Regina's whole insecurity is coming back. Her pain is there. Last time, pain means evil. So there she is. She's in this scene. She's in her office. It's all the cold colors. It's muted grays with the sharp black and white, the apples earlier. But she's there. It's all very cold looking. And you've got that split screen with the doorway. And here's Emma. Emma, who's all concerned about... she's very concerned about Regina. She's, you know, trying to be helpful. She's sorry she hurt her, like in the movie Frozen. Anna pushed Elsa. Elsa lashed out. So she feels like she's responsible for this pain and this unhappiness. And then visually, she's all in rosy colors. She's the mm-hmm. sun is pouring in through the window. It's very warm and golden and glowing. It's that dichotomy. It's that contrast of good and evil, love and sadness, you know, not being a part, not being in communion with. Everybody wants Regina to be with them and to experience this love. And Regina right now, she's trapped. And
yeah.
She's the only one that can take it out. And it fits perfectly with the Snow Queen, the fairy tale. It fits perfectly with Frozen, the movie. But I was going into this thinking, oh, it's going to be Elsa Anna's story. Uh-uh. It's Regina Emma. Regina.
Don't you think that this might detract, actually, from the Elsa Anna story? in a sense that now the focus all of a sudden is on Emma and Regina. They are actually living the same kind of tension and the same situation as we saw in the movie Frozen. What's left for Elsa and Anna? How are they going to avoid duplicating things?
Well, that's what the writers of Once Upon a Time do so well. And that's why I really wanted to bring that moment out in this podcast, because we call it Secrets Of. And I don't know if everybody caught it. I mean, I did, but I Lisa, I'm going to out you. She didn't.
I didn't.
So when I
loved the
moment.
I thought it was beautiful, but no, I didn't.
So what I was thinking was... What I was thinking was that the writers are going to, they're going to have us looking in all these different directions. You know, we're going to be following along with, okay, here's Elsa. She's now in Storybrooke. Why? You know, why was she trapped there? Then there's going to be the flashback and they're going to tell the story. So it starts 5 years after their parents' death. The movie Frozen takes place 3 years after the parents' death. So we are, according to my daughters, 2 years after the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got all these stories going on. So the viewer really can just sit back and relax and watch it. And we're the ones here on this podcast that are going to be pointing out, hey, did you see this and how it ties into that? And so our viewers can just sit back our listeners, they can sit back and really just enjoy the visual and the storytelling. And then they can come here and we'll tell them secrets.
I think that they're going to use the Elsa and Anna characters and storyline. It's all going to come back around. They were all, something happened in the Enchanted Forest. It's all, you know what I'm saying? It's they're still going to focus on our main characters, on our Regina and Emma, and I don't know how much Snow and Prince Charming are getting in on this, and Rumpel. You know Rumpel's going to have a bad thing in there somewhere. I think that we're going to see it all come back around, and they will be gone when their little arc is over, and we'll still be on our main characters. So...
I have something for spoilers, and I don't want to mention it now, but I have a feeling I know where a little bit of the story is going.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to wait for spoilers because it is not in this episode.
Okay, well, let's save that for later. Well, yeah. Deborah, let me ask you, what was your favorite moment in this episode?
Was not involving Frozen, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can guess what yours is.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, take a guess.
Did it involve a hidden, not a hidden Mickey, but a hidden a like
bucket?
Hat?
A little bucket. Yes. Yep. And I was like, that's a bucket.
I saw that. I thought, that looks like a bucket with water.
Yes.
And when he did it, I thought, oh my gosh.
Actually, my first thought when I saw it was that it looked like something my kids created in a craft time. But, you know, it didn't look all that appealing. But then went, yeah.
Explain well, it to, that, to our listeners who missed that reference. Why the bucket?
Go, Deborah.
Oh, the bucket is from Sorcerer's Apprentice,
right.
From Fantasia, from the 1940 edition of Fantasia, because that's the Sorcerer's Apprentice, the most famous section of that movie, was, you know, Mickey Mouse, he has to clean up the little, sorcerer's dungeon, and he gets the hat and he enchants the bucket and the mops and, you know, ends up flooding the joint. And so, you know, when I saw the bucket, I'm like, oh. So is, and it brought up, is Rumpel, is he Yensed or is he Mickey? You know, is he going to be the Sorcerer's Apprentice? Is the place he and Belle are in? And this is, you know, totally at the end of the episode and I apologize. But are, you know, is he in the Sorcerer's, you know, lair? Is that his house? Like, is he in Yensed's house or is he Yensed? You know, and Yensed is obviously Disney spelled backwards, but Yensed is the name of the character in The Sorcerer's Apprentice who is the apprentice or is the sorcerer.
As soon as I saw that hat, I was like, okay, so either the sorcerer is going to walk in the door the next second or Mickey is. I would pay money to see Mickey just walk in the door.
Could this all be about, is the storyline the temptation of taking the hat and doing what Mickey did, basically, and that's taking a shortcut. Instead of doing what he's supposed to do, just use the magic and change the world so that it kind of fits your own plans. And that, of course, is bound to go wrong. I mean, the whole appearance of that hat, that magical hat that is so symbolic, and you see it in every Disney park. And then in the presence of of Gold, who is still struggling with his own lie, the dagger and everything, is the temptation is there to fix things very quickly and to clean up things literally using magic, and then of course there are going to be problems.
Can I mention the little I don't know if anybody noticed it, but I did. During that whole scene, it was the music from The Sorcerer's Apprentice kind of rearranged.
Indeed. I caught it.
Dum dum da 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 dum da da dum da 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 dum.
But it had a Once Upon a Time theme kind of overlaid on top of it.
The first few seconds, I was like, I know this. What is this? And then I saw the hat like appearing. I was like, oh, duh, of course.
But that's interesting what you say about the temptation with the hat, because he made that beautiful speech to Bay, and it really kind of resolved where we were disappointed that he swapped out the daggers, and then he made that beautiful speech. He swaps out the fake dagger with the real one, but then he pulls it back out to go and open the hat. Can he truly let it go?
Let it go.
No.
Is he going to You know, he is also facing the same crossroad as Regina. Is he going to be, you know, a good upstanding citizen and let her love keep him, you know, present and prescient and thoughtful? Or is he going to, you know, be set off and go down a road again and trying to protect her? What will threaten Belle that will make him turn back to magic or turn back to... And also in regards to the Arendelle part of the story, where Anna has gone off to Misthaven, aka the Enchanted Forest, I didn't see any previews for next week, but it doesn't take a lot of thought to realize that she's going to meet Rumpelstiltskin. Mm-hmm. And exactly where in the timeline, we don't know, but Rumpelstiltskin is the devil. Actually, it's going to be early because they brought her back from the past. So it's even going to be before our Snow White story.
Huh.
If you think about it, it has to be before the Snow White story because Emma and Hook were in the past when Snow White and Charming met. And that's when they rescued Marion. So it goes way back. So this is even predates.
So we might get a lot of flashbacks to that world. That's going to be interesting.
Pollyanna. She's a goody two-shoes. She sees the good in everybody.
Yeah.
I loved the actress. She did such a great job capturing the inflection and the tone and the speaking.
I thought so too. Both actually were perfect. They're really,
what
really
similar.
What is
going to happen when she meets the devil himself?
Yeah.
Since I was the one who hadn't seen Frozen, I think my favorite moments, unfortunately, aren't Frozen related, but they're just all like bits and collections of all the banter that the regular cast members, you know, still do. Like the they brought back Sydney.
Yes.
And then and he's going off on this whole thing about, I knew you wouldn't forget me. I knew the reason for all, you know, you hadn't forgotten me all these years. And she's like, yeah, right.
Now that you mention it, yes, I didn't forget you.
I had to back in the mirror.
Of course, when she's coming down that stairs, I'm thinking, seriously, you still have somebody locked up?
Seriously, literally forgot about him this entire time. Like, oh my gosh.
And then one of the first things she does is to throw him back into the mirror.
He's like, no.
And that is this lovely sound effect where he's trying to get out, and he's like tapping on the window of the mirror, and then you hear that little like squeak when his hand is going like alongside the glass. I thought it was brilliant.
Like, I know she's wrestling with good versus evil here, but I'm like, if you're having trouble seeing what you just did is wrong, you still got a ways to go here. Yeah.
But she, in her defense, she says it's temporarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe that.
And but, he seems he's more murderous than he was.
Like, so, Hook saying, when isn't there a crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that one's new.
Yeah, that was actually.
Grumpy's getting a ride back from his designated driver who falls asleep at the wheel. Sleepy, why would you choose Sleepy as your designated driver? What you
Okay,
who was it that said instead of snowman they had a snow van? That was Deborah.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, if you look at it from the side, the way they showed it, it looks like a snowman. It's a snow van, but it's a snowman.
Oh. Oh, wow.
That instead could be... of Olaf, it's the van. Yeah.
It's the van. I love
too
it.
Funny.
And the enchanted fan that which talks and so.
They did have a, you know, to make us wait so long, or it felt so long, you know, for a new episode. They did great at getting the characters back to
yes.
their little witty, you know, sarcasm to each other. I'm Hook is growing on me. He's not always been my favorite, but I'm loving him for somebody for Emma to as a foil for her. I like that.
Inga, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment was when Snow White was pushing the pram and Hook shows up, and then they have this little discussion about there's always a crisis. Perhaps you should consider living a little in between. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was my favorite moment, because that's basically Emma's excuse for not now. There's a crisis, and then it's resolved. Oh well, yeah, give me some space, and then there's a new crisis. So
it's mm-hmm. actually very very wise, a wise line. I mean, it could apply to our lives as well. Oftentimes,
yes.
we're always
yes.
kind of postponing the important things, and because mm-hmm. we're busy, and we still have to do this, and we'll get to that later, and then we'll never get to it. You know, it's about
exactly.
you know what's truly
yeah.
important in your life, and he's reminding her of that. That's yeah, it's a little nugget of wisdom there. Well, they also, in addition to writing great lines for all our favorite characters, they overstuffed this episode with lots and lots of hidden things and jokes and references and Easter eggs. Why don't we just try to find a couple of those Easter eggs? And I'm sure that you all have seen a number of them, and let's see how far we can get. What's the first Easter egg that you remember from this episode?
It's well, it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The stone troll when she comes around the corner.
Yes.
Oh,
good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The green one. The when I saw it, I was like, "What is that? Why do they show us that?" And then immediately afterwards, you get the stone
there?
Trolls. Yes.
Is it going to do something?
Good catch.
Well, you wonder.
Deborah, what was the one you saw?
Well, I mean, I guess it's very overt, but it's the whole, oh, it's Anna and Elsa's parents, and oh, hey, it's the storm. They're gonna, you know, sink exactly like they did in the movie, and then you know, it's very, very much a Disney overt thing. But then the first kind of hidden thing I thought I picked out was when Anna was talking to Elsa, and Elsa's like, "I have a surprise for you," and they go upstairs. She's like, "Is it indoor skating?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
yeah."
But it was something different. Yeah. One symbolic moment that I noticed was, and this has to do also with the colors, is when Regina realizes that she has lost Robin. She wears gray, and that of course is kind of a transitional color. It's not black. It's not white. It's gray. So she's on the verge of, you know, changing direction. Perhaps going dark, perhaps staying on the light side. And then she, in her rage, she breaks the mirror. And I thought it was truly symbolic, because Robin had told her, you know, look into your heart and see who you truly are, or something along those lines.
Yeah,
and she refuses to look at herself. She shatters the mirror. And then when she picks up one of the, how you call that, the pieces?
Shards.
Shards. And she looks into it. That's when she recognizes her old self. It's almost as if that brokenness is she embraces that as her identity. It's a shard with sharp edges, and that's when she realizes, oh yeah, yeah, that's also someone I can be. And I thought it was just really well done symbolically. And then of course the mirror also refers to the scenes later on with the magical mirror.
Well, did you notice that Elsa, when she's coming into Storybrooke, she's walking down the yellow line in the center of the road, and
Yellow brick road.
Yellow brick road. And my girls go, "Look, look, she's controlling her power." You know, ooh.
Nice.
Oh no, the best was when she was standing there and she was trying to. You know, they show her clenched fists and all the little snow and the ice particles on her fists.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my husband goes, "Conceal, don't feel. Conceal, don't feel. Conceal, don't feel."
Exactly.
Like, oh man.
Very well done. Now, did she leave that ice skate trail in the animated movie as well? I don't remember that.
Not really.
No, when she ran, everything just it went in all directions from her feet. Now it's just a path.
But
my favorite, she's hiding behind this thing. And I'm like, dude, you left a path.
Exactly. I was about to say that as well. That's really no use hiding. Oh, gosh. There was a sign on one of the buildings, and it said the rabbit hole. Have we seen this before?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Oh, have we?
I forgot about it.
Isn't that the place where Rishi Lacy
Mad Hatter.
So there was this club. There was this club where she hung out, which was the rabbit hole.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't remember that. I mean, I remember she went to a club. I didn't remember the name of it.
I know I've seen the sign before, but I'd have to go back through my notes or watch episodes to see where it was.
Then, of course, we've got all the references to monsters. We've got a real monster. It's the marshmallow/snow evil snowman. But then there are several people who are called monsters, and I guess that they were just trying to create all these parallels. You know, who is the monster? And then, of course, the biggest Disney reference, I think, was the ballroom scene. That took me by surprise. I loved it. It was so cool.
Beautiful. Did you notice they even danced the same? The way he, you know, like pulled her up in the air and the dress swished. Yeah. And that was
music, dance, everything.
Yeah. And even the shots were the same with the chandelier and the same shots.
Exactly. And I did.
That was nice.
I've been waiting for that scene for a long time because we knew that Belle and the Beast, but why not refer to that movie visually? And they did it in this episode. It was glorious.
And I don't think they've really given us that before, have they?
No.
I mean, a straight shot, not in so much detail. Like that. Yeah.
That was my original thought is like, why are they doing so much overt Disney? I'm loving it, but I'm like, I'm not used to it. It's kind of. Yeah, I have mixed emotions about that.
Including the way the stone trolls looked and the animation, the evil snowman. Those are just models that are slightly more developed than what we saw in the animated movie, but they were clearly just taking the stuff directly from that movie and just using it here in a slightly more realistic fashion. But I was surprised as well. I was like, wow, I kind of expected them to play with that a little bit more. I mean, we've seen like reminiscences of Disney movies, but this was just clearly, that's exactly the same stone troll, and he talks the same and moves the same as we saw in that movie. And it was, I think it's probably smart because, well, Once Upon a Time as a television show had some rough times where people kind of started to disconnect because they were perhaps a little bit trying to be too fancy, too far away. And this is blatantly just begging for, you know, new viewers. And so that's probably, you know, commercially a very smart move to make so much, you know, visual reference to the Disney movies.
Right. You remember what made us fall in love with the first episode? And it was that visual connection with Disney. Mm-hmm. It was the snow. It was Snow White. I mean, do you remember the moment that Charming came up and he slid back the glass coffin case and he bent down and he kissed Snow White? And she looked up at him. And what was it they always said? I knew you'd come for me, or I knew you'd find me, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we just saw our hearts just melted. We went, oh, my gosh. And then the Snow Queen, I mean, the Evil Queen showed up and you're like, oh. He threw the sword and she vanished. And we're like, oh, what's going to happen now?
Well, my thought was that Disney really, I mean, this is a way to, I don't want to say revitalize Once Upon a Time, but, it's a chance to get in new viewers. And so I think, in my opinion, that's why they went so hard with the Frozen, with this episode. And it'll be interesting to see if they keep it up or if it's kind of like the hook that brings people in. And then, this is only an arc. I mean, a Frozen. So they're only there for a set amount of time. So how are they going to transition all the new viewers into falling in love with the characters who stay?
With
Emma and Regina. And so I think it'll really be more about our core characters, but this is the hook,
But they can take their time, I think. They have been renewed for the fourth season. This show is clearly here to stay for a while. And so I think that they just, because they, at the end of the previous episode, previous season, they weren't sure that they could use the characters from Frozen. The movie hadn't been released or had just been released, I think, but they had no idea that Frozen would become this big. And so what I think is that the moment they saw the initial success of Frozen and they got the green light, they just probably were thinking, oh, we're just going to do the entire half part of the season about Frozen and these characters. And then they'll have time enough to think about some nice story arc for the second season, for the second part of the season.
I also heard that they they didn't know if they got the license for Frozen, so they shot also an alternative ending to season three.
Really?
So there are two endings, even the main cast didn't know about the Frozen connection because they were doing the rapid party, and then they shot this scene. Where Elsa comes
do,
in.
Do you know anything about the contents of that alternate ending?
No, I just read an interview with a producer, and I also think that part of the negotiations with Disney to get permission to use a Frozen may also have included, well, if you are using Frozen, you need to make it look like this, or you need
could
to
be.
Use.
Yeah. That they're a little bit more vigilant as to, you know, to protect the storyline, the characters, because this Frozen, of course, is so big for Disney right now,
right.
And
it's
we're
going to
have so many sequels to this. Yeah, it's quality control.
And they probably didn't get the explicit permission to use Disney stuff in a previous episode, so they had to skirt around it a little bit. So maybe that's the explanation why this is so blatantly Disney. Versus the more touches in the previous.
Well, and I think that Disney also sees the promotional value of this television series for their brands, and let's not forget ABC is Disney; it's owned by Disney. So, I think that now that this television series has really found its pace and its audience, I'm thinking that Disney itself is thinking more of how can we use this to strengthen our brand and our movies and our theme parks and everything. That's why we see so much of it in this episode. And hopefully that's there to stay, because I kind of like it. I'm not complaining. were there any other secret messages, details, Easter eggs? We've already talked about the Mickey's hat, or the magical hat that appears. What was that small device with the stars on it?
Wasn't that the hat?
That was the sorcerer's hat.
Right. That was the sorcerer's hat, the wizard's hat that Mickey put on during the Fantasia.
Oh. So the stars on it, so it's kind of flattened.
Okay. Oh, okay. I just didn't understand that. Have we ever seen that necklace that Elsa gives Anna? Is that from the movie, or is that something new?
Yes, that's directly from the movie.
Oh, okay.
So she cast a necklace when she... I think I don't remember it because I've seen them almost at the same time. But I think she has a necklace like that.
I don't remember.
Movie, but I'm not sure.
I did catch one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. In the end, when Elsa the newspaper blows up in Storybrooke against her, and she looks down, and at first you think, oh, she knows who gold is. She's going out to the shop after gold, and it's not until she gets to the shop. And you see the paper again that you realize, oh, no, she saw the necklace in the corner of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I paused it. And the bottom right picture has a picture of a stone gargoyle or a troll. I mean, at first I thought it was a picture of a troll. But so I paused it and I went up and looked, and it said, Storybrooke Priory's laughing gargoyle has been vandalized. I thought, well, that's kind of an unusual thing to put in there, you know, to pause. I also paused the diary, but I couldn't read... I couldn't tell whether those words were in English or if they were done to look up.
I noticed
like
a few English words, but it was also a bit like, let's just do runes, and I couldn't read everything.
It's the same writing as they used in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, something we haven't touched yet is Regina's plan.
Yeah.
When she picks up that book. Remember when Pinocchio, August, thank you. When he first showed up in town, we thought he was going to turn out to be the author of the book.
Yes.
But here, now finally, it looks like we're going to start exploring that thought. Regina picks up the book and she says, the book is why I'm suffering. You know, she's not focused on Marion anymore. And Robin and his vow. I mean, what an honorable thing to show.
That was awesome. Yeah, definitely. I may be a thief, but I'm not, you know, I have my code of honor. That was
my honor. I live my code.
But she says every story in this book has one thing in common. The villains don't get a happy ending. And even though, you know, I'm always the villain, it's not right. I thought not being the villain, I thought being a hero now that I would get my happy ending. But the book, the stories, they only see me in one way. I have to find the writer. I have to force them to give me what I deserve. It's time to change the book. It's time for villains to get their happy endings. And all I could see was the future Instagram hashtag change the book. But that tied in really well with what she said in the beginning was, that's not who I was. You know, that's not who I was. That's who I was. It's now who I am. She says, I felt the brunt of heroism. I'm always the villain, even when I'm not.
Well, yeah, her self-image is shattering with that mirror that she destroys. And it's back to her former self now. And so the only thing that she thinks will change her fate is by controlling the book as a symbol of that fate. And, of course, the question is, can you just rewrite a book and will it rewrite your life? Or will she recognize that ultimately, you know, the book is just a book. It's not going to change anything. It's you who has to change. But then again, that might be a bigger arc. But they're planting a gun here. I mean, they're talking about the author of the book. Now, you cannot do that without having a plan about who this author might be. Can we speculate about that, or without, you know, mentioning spoilers or anything? Is it going to be someone we know? Is it going to be a new character?
Could it be the wizard?
It could be.
Yeah, that was my thought as well. The sorcerer.
Mm-hmm. That's how they'll bring in the sorcerer, is that they, you know, like find him with the, you know, in her hunt for the book or for the author, that she finds the sorcerer.
Right.
There's always the fates, but the fates are usually weavers. And we saw them with as spinners with Rumple as a child. You know, if you go back, the fates are always shown as women. Three women, two women who weave or who spin stories, who spin tales, who weave fabric.
I think they're done with them. I think it's going to be someone bigger. Either we've met or we haven't met. It's going to be someone big.
Yeah.
And they'll just happen to look like Walt Disney.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, actually, that would be a betrayal, I think, because it wasn't. Walt Disney didn't come up with all these stories. He was just a very clever man, you know, turning that into movies. But, you know.
So that's a good point. So
should be Hans.
The creators of this show have come out of all of these different fairy tales, but all the fairy tales were written by different authors. Mm-hmm. There's no one author for all of the fairy tales that they've put together.
Yeah,
you remember the kind of the evil dude in Frozen, Hans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's also a story writer whose first name is Hans, which is also
Christian Andersen.
Yes, who also is kind of the inspiration for this Frozen. So maybe he turns up.
Well, Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah. You know, of course, there's in the Frozen movie, there's the character Hans, Kristoff, Anna, Sven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hans, Kristoff, Anna, Sven.
I did not know that. Wow, that is so smart.
My daughter found that on Pinterest.
My daughter told me that.
That is awesome.
She probably got it from Ashley on Pinterest.
She probably did.
Or they could do that Matrix crossover, and the writer of the book is going to be Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
Also called Neo.
That would be great.
But I think
they're going to twist it just like they do everything else, and we're not really going to see it coming.
I hope they're not going to reveal that anytime soon, though, because I love the mystery of the book. I where is it coming from? What's the story there? Why would someone write down all these stories?
If they reveal the book, the author of the book, wouldn't that, to me, that would be kind of the season ender. I mean, the series ender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's like the smoke monster in Lost.
Yeah, but there's something weird about it as well. Why does she just simply assume that the writer of the book is still around? I mean, that's clearly an old book. You know, that could be a writer from like centuries ago.
Yeah, but the book is magic. Remember then when Snow and Emma were looking for the book so Henry would remember, and the book only would turn up because Emma believed in it and wanted to find it.
True, but it still could be that the author of the book has been dead for centuries, and that it was just written magically, but you know, he or she is no longer around.
couple of characters that are over 300 years old, so mm-hmm. it's not too big a stretch.
Yeah, but I thought, I always, you know, the book's always been kind of interesting, because I thought it was kind of a side, well, not to use the Matrix reference, but, you know, part of the program. I thought it was a side effect of the curse, because that was the way, that was the key, that was the back door. If this was a program, it would have been a back door, but that was the way that you know, started the domino effect that ended up getting Emma to Storybrooke and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. So
it's Tron.
Yeah, but in that case,
don't go light cycle on me.
But the programmer, he's in there.
Yeah, but I think it'll be a great arc for them to investigate. I mean, I think this is just another thing for them to focus on and move towards. I don't know if we'll find out anytime soon.
Yeah, but
so wouldn't they have to go back to? I mean, like, because this was originally the curse that Regina enacted, mm-hmm. and then she got that curse from
Rumpel.
Did he create that or did he steal it?
He created it.
Okay, so he was the one who created it. So she was. Does that mean she needs to go? You know, he was the architect of this, and this is what's creating the book. So I thought that meant she'd be going after him.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Because if it's the byproduct of the cursing, she even calls it the cursed tome. So I thought. So if it's a backdoor almost. And we know Rumpel created a number of backdoors in a curse so he could find Bale.
Mm-hmm.
So what if this is also one of the backdoors and maybe there are more backdoors?
I'm thinking if this has to do with the book and author, one person I think that should get involved is Bale. Isn't she a character who's always been about books and about history and reading mm-hmm. and
true. Yeah.
If there is someone who might know where this writer is and how to reach him, it could be Belle.
And it would give her something to do.
Yes, it will give her something to do. It will give Gold, Rumpel, the reason to get involved in the story. Because Rumpel here, I was a bit confused. What's happening to him? What are your theories? Where is he going to go? Is he going to turn
tied
evil?
In with Elsa.
No.
He's definitely got to be tied in with Elsa somehow. I mean, look at what we know. We know that Anna goes to Mist Haven. Mm-hmm. We know, I'm guessing this might be where Hans and his brothers are from. We'll see Hans and the brothers. But she's going to meet Rumpel. What's going to happen with that? She's going to make a deal or something? Because somehow he's got the necklace. Elsa's going to go after Anna in Mist Haven, and she's going to encounter Rumpel because he's going to get her in the urn. And remember, they were in that. The urn was in that dungeon where he puts magic he either doesn't understand or can't control.
It reminds me of another story by Hans Christian Andersen. So there were 13 brothers in total, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yes. Remember the story that the brothers are turned into swans?
Uh-huh.
Wild swans?
Yeah, wild swans. And mm-hmm. Someone, I think, the sister... has to knit sweaters for the brothers.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And if she speaks, then all goes boom. I think they die or something like that. Hmm. So she keeps knitting, and because she's not speaking at all, people want to burn her at a stake. So when she finishes the last sweater, while she's burning at a stake, and that's when she's rescued. Hmm. Yeah, and so that the number of brothers reminds me of it. So maybe that will be...
That'll be interesting.
Well, so what if Elsa...
Guess what the sister's name is?
Anna, I think.
No, in your story, The Wild Swans, guess what the sister's name is?
Oh? No?
I don't know.
Alyssa. Very close to Elsa. That's funny.
Oh, interesting.
She becomes a savior to her brothers?
Yeah.
I'll have to read the story.
Fascinating.
Well, it'll also be interesting to see where's Anna. I mean, is she, since she went to the Enchanted Forest, where'd she end up? So is she in Storybrooke somewhere? Is she in that deep, dark dungeon of a hospital mm-hmm. of Regina? I mean, you know, like, she's going to show up somewhere, right?
What is the connection between these two worlds? Are they totally separated? Is this one of those realms that is behind the doors in the circular room? Or is it possible to just take a boat and go from one place to another? Is it possible to sail
well,
to Storybrooke?
Well, the parents were on their way in a boat, so...
Yeah.
I think it depends.
Well, to the, yeah,
I mean,
to the,
like Mulan,
the Enchanted
yeah.
Forest. Yeah. What about the name Misthaven? I was mystified by that. But it's like, why? That sounds almost like a Tolkien name, like the Grey Havens or something like that. And I've Googled it, and I can't find anything about it. I'm just...
No, but what does Haven mean?
Oh, Haven is a place where you're...
A safe
refuge.
Place.
Refuge.
Safe, yeah.
Right?
A place safe, yeah.
And then what do we associate with mists? In the mist is the water, secrets. The mist, secrets, mm-hmm. shadows.
Yeah.
The fog yeah. could be called a mist. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of possibilities in that.
This is our homework for next week.
Yeah.
To come up with
yeah.
speculation.
On okay, I Googled
Haven.
It. Haven, a place where you are protected from danger, trouble. Well, and what was it the parents said? That what were the words that were in the... diary that made, oh, and I love that visual effect with little snowflakes around.
Yes,
her,
that was great.
That she thought that they were going to go. I can't remember exactly what she said. She said something about, I wish I didn't have to hide the truth from our children.
Yeah.
But the truth is too painful.
Mm-hmm.
And something about Elsa is terrifying and it has to be stopped. Not she has to be stopped, but it has to be stopped.
Yeah. It's almost as if
this thing happening to her is terrifying. So
well, and I was thinking, you know, what's truly going on? Because of course, what Elsa reads in is not what her parents thought about her. I mean, she's interpreting yeah. it as if it was a rejection of who she was, which is great because that's exactly the kind of, you know, motivation that she had in the movie Frozen. But of course, the parents are good guys. Yeah, they're parents, so they have to be good. So they want to actually probably help Elsa. And I'm thinking, who would you turn to if you want to fix something that has to do with magic and you need someone really powerful? Yes. You go to Rumpelstiltskin. And what if they did and Rumpel wanted a price? Because, of course, it's always a negotiation. So what's mm-hmm. going to be that price to pay? Is it going to be the separation between the two sisters? Is that what's going on? Is Rumpelstiltskin somehow... still culpable of the two sisters getting separated, and is that
yes.
why Elsa wants to go after? I'm just speculating here. Wants to go after gold.
Yeah, well, Elsa was wearing that necklace when she was going to Misthaven, right?
Anna.
Oh,
was
Anna.
Wearing
Anna.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So and later that same necklace turns up in Rumpel's shop. So it means that the two have met, right? Otherwise, they
probably probably or it's at least what Elsa assumes.
Right. That's yeah. It just sets up for whatever's next going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are definitely a lot of story beginnings here, and that's making me very curious for the rest of the season. I'm already much more enthusiastic about this season than I was about the Peter Pan story arc. But.
So go Google that online. There's so many people that just stopped watching during Peter Pan or they're just,
yeah.
you know, not
well,
happy. And so they're happy now, which is good.
I had a hard time, you know, just fortunately we were doing this podcast, so I had
yeah, exactly.
to watch it. But it was definitely one of the rougher moments in the arc of the series. But, you know, they're off to a good start. And we will be here to talk much more about Once Upon a Time. And, well, since we're at the end of the episode, let me play the audio from the promo for the second episode of the fourth season. The episode is called White Out. Kind of staying with the snowy white symbolism here. And then we will perhaps also talk, you know, potential spoilers.
Don't worry, Anna. I will find you.
Next Sunday.
Until we're together, no one leaves this town.
Storybrooke is taken by storm. And a desperate quest takes a chilling turn.
It was trapped under ice by a woman with ice magic.
She's freezing to death.
A spellbinding new season is just getting started.
I'll do whatever it takes to get my sister back.
New Once Upon a Time, next Sunday, 8/7 Central on ABC.
They keep doing the puns with the spellbinding episodes, etc. and you see a glimpse of Rumpelstiltskin in the promo for this. So he's definitely involved in the past, at least, in the story of Elsa and Anna, which is very, very cool. Deborah, earlier in this episode, you said you had some potential spoilerific information about the story arc.
Yeah, actually, I read something that had like 9 different spoilers on it, so I'm gonna like just reserve 1 or 2 of them. So apparently Hans will be coming back into the story arc. You know, we thought we got rid of him at the end of Frozen. Mm-hmm. You know, he was sent back to his 13 brothers or whatever. But apparently he will be back, and he will be a villain.
Oh, well, good. Excellent.
So, yeah, so Lisa was talking about that earlier, that, yes, Hans is coming back. We'll see what his thing is, what's going on with him. Just another spoiler is that you got to remember that Regina was prophesied by Tinkerbell back in the, you know, I don't know how long ago, that Robin was her true love.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since prophecies in this instance come true, it's speculation that Maid Marian won't be around for very much longer either.
Yeah. Well,
can
that's what I'm
thinking,
and too.
Nobody judges.
Well, yeah.
Well, and
she's kind of vanilla, plain vanilla or something like that.
Yeah, she's not all that. Yeah.
But
no digs against the actress, mind you. The character being introduced the way she was introduced, etc.
Not very sympathetic.
I don't want her to see you're there for a long. I mean,
yeah.
Me the little
on the other hand, I mean, I think it would. It clearly Robin Hood had fallen in love with Regina, and he even tells her, you know, those feelings are still there. But he wants to stay faithful to his wife, which obviously is something that people in fairy tales should do, and we all actually should. But I kind of am hoping that they will not get rid of her, because it, you know, that would be so convenient.
Well, and you know, on this show, just because it's true love doesn't mean you get to be together right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True, no happy ending.
You might have to suffer for a little while first.
I hope at least that there's going to be some kind of heroic contribution of Marian to the story. I mean, it's a little bit too easy now. It's just go back in time and erase her. Nah. I hope to do something a little bit more honorable.
I did love the moment where Regina made that decision to save them all from the snow monster and then say, "Welcome to Storybrooke, Marian."
Oh, yeah. Well, and okay, can I ask something? This is not a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so Emma's magic didn't work on Marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Regina's?
Because she knows fire?
It much better. Ooh, good one.
What? Why?
Emma didn't cast fire. Regina cast fire to the snowman. And there was also those references in Frozen that you... is it Olaf, the little snowman?
Yeah.
He should get away of the fire because he would melt. And later on, he catches personal cloud of snow so he can walk around in the summer.
See, I was just thinking that Emma really doesn't have a lot of control over her magic and know what she's doing unless she's been taught specifically. Whereas Regina, it's like, Rumpel, I mean, just click and... It's done.
Yeah. Rumpel, too. He's
experienced.
Really, really experienced, yes. There was this red aura when he froze Belle for an instant to put back the dagger, and which seemed to imply that it was kind of evilish. It's not really, you know, pure magic. What about that dagger? Is that still going to play a role? I mean, he put it back and then he took it out again to conjure up the hat. But what about this? Is this still going to be... I'm personally a bit done with the dagger. I was like, come up with something new. But
and I don't have time to talk about it because I got to go. But there's still in this... I don't know if this is a spoiler, which is why I wait till right now.
Sure.
There's still another character that's going to be exposed, and that is the Snow Queen.
Ooh.
The Snow Queen, not Elsa as a Snow Queen.
And then, of course, we need to talk... When she's revealed, we need to talk about that original fairy tale. But you are right. We have to wrap things up. Shelley, Lisa, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, Lisa and I have a blog called Of Sound Mind and Spirit, and you can find us at www.soundmindandspirit.com.
What about you, Deborah?
Well, I am, you know, I do have another episode of iPilgrim podcast. Cool. You can find all of my episodes there at www.ipilgrimpodcast.com.
Excellent. Inga has muted herself or snuck out of the room.
So you can follow me on Facebook, and that's basically where I reside, and I sometimes post stuff on sqpn.com.
Excellent. I am a host of quite a few podcast series. We, as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, we've started a new series about Doctor Who. So if you like Doctor Who, you're following this sixth season with Capaldi as a new Doctor, you might want to join us. It's a great show to do. I have a lot of fun. And Doctor Who, in a certain way, has a lot in common with Once Upon a Time, in that there are so many interesting themes and Easter eggs in there. There's always a lot to talk about. It's a lot of fun. I love it that we finally have a Doctor Who show. And you can find that one at doctorwho.sqpn.com. We also have a show about Star Wars, which you can also find at sqpn.com. And so that's also the case for my show The Break and Geek Priest and many other things. Just go to sqpn.com and you will find all the information there. If you have some time, we would appreciate it if you could tell your fellow Once Upon a Time fans about this podcast, and if you go over to the iTunes store, you can leave us a review or a rating with those shiny stars, and we would of course love it if you do that, because it will help people discover this podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.